Despite what it says in the notice sheet, we're taking a different tack this morning. Going to be a little bit of a different message. I changed the direction of where we're going to go. We're going to press pause on the little series that we've been doing called Praying the Bible's Prayers. And we're probably going to press pause on that next week as well, I think, as God leads. And I want to just flag for us this morning an important season which we're entering as a church. This will be something that if you're a church member here in Hillview, that you'll be very well aware of. But we're conscious that many people in the church family here, for a number of reasons, are not members, or maybe I should say are not members yet. There are little packs out there in the foyer next to the Connect desk that you can take, which explains a little bit. There's a kind of covering letter, and then there's a form that you can fill in. And just if you would be interested in pursuing church membership, it's something that we would really commend to you and warmly encourage you to consider. But we're just conscious that many among our church family, precious brothers and sisters that we love, are not members. And we are, as a church, entering a season of prayer and reflection, and we want to call the whole church to this, and we felt it was right to share a little bit about that. So, as a church, over the last months, we have been in this little season that we have sometimes called a kind of back to basics moment. That was one of the phrases that the Lord laid on the hearts of the elders at our retreat back in September of last year. It just came up time and time again in our discussions, and there have been a few manifestations of that back to basics season. So, you know, for example, as elders, we have massively stripped back our agendas to be much more focused on seeking God on this next moment that we are hoping to walk into. So that's one thing. We do have somewhere a list in a document of all the ongoing actions that need to get attended to at some point. But for the most part in our agendas, we've taken those away and have mostly had one or two item agendas for a long time now, really. We've seen that back to basics in hopefully the preaching series. So we came out of the Jesus Storybook Bible, which is just an incredible journey. I loved it. And then we have been in this moment of these prayers from the Bible, just trying to learn what can we glean from these men, women of God as they bring their prayers before God. And what does that mean for us as we seek to come back to that simple place of just life with God day in, day out? We've had two really special evenings of worship and prayer. We just commend those to you when they come up. I just would encourage you to make space if you can for those. There's one more over the course of this year after the summer. We celebrated Easter and Pentecost together. We've had these baptisms that we have just been celebrating new life in Jesus Christ. And we've had through church forums and in various ways, you've probably heard this repeated call for us to truly be together praying to God for clarity. I remember sitting there on a stool a couple of church forums ago just saying there's just so many issues for us to figure out. We need God to guide us. And would we all together be praying about that in this season? And I just feel that from that place, it is remarkable how God has brought us to this moment that we're in now. Because in recent weeks, maybe a few months, but in recent weeks, certainly, there's been a huge shift in intensity. So for some of us, there have been lots of extra meetings that we've been having. There will be lots of extra meetings to come. There have been innumerable drafts of different documents that have been flying round. There has been the final preparation of those and now the sharing and talking through of the document that was emailed out to members a couple of weeks ago. And here we are now in this kind of focused season of prayer and discernment. And my personal reflection, for what it's worth, of these last 6 to 9 months is that there has been a season of waiting and seeking God. And it feels to me that God is now beginning to lead us forward. So, Just over 2 weeks ago, the elders shared this document with the church members. The title, We See, alludes to the 8 vision statements that we have as a church. If you come along to the New to Hillview lunch, you'll hear what these 8 vision statements are. And here they are just here. We see a church that is biblical, authentic worshipers, that tells people about Jesus, that embodies his love, that is honest and relevant, that is a loving family connected in small groups, a church that plants other churches, and a church that is expectant. So in titling the paper like this, one of the things that we're trying to do is to highlight that this is not so much about us asking new questions together as a church, but this is us seeking to share how we think God has been leading the elders to some fresh clarity as to potential new answers to how we might, in God's grace, be better equipped to pursue this vision which has been before us for many years. And the subtitle of the paper recognizes that you might group these vision statements broadly into 2 different sections, 2 priorities in the church vision that we want to hold in balance. So fulfilling our church's vision for ministry and for multiplication. And you can see there that some of these vision statements speak to just day in, day out, normal life of ministry in Jesus' church, teaching, fellowship, doing life together in homes with one another, worship, pastoral care. So there's this desire for us to pursue the ministry of Jesus, and then there is also this vision for multiplication. Now, yes, we do hope that we will see multiplication in all areas of church life. What I mean by that is that we hope that small groups wouldn't just stay the same 10 or 12 people, but they would grow to the point where they can multiply and break out into new small groups. We hope that we would see multiplication in leadership development, so that in the ministries that are run in the church, it's not just the same people doing it forever, but that they're multiplying and spreading in different ways. So that's true in all areas of church life. But there is also this specific prayer, this dream, that we might see God birth new local expressions of church. Now, that's challenging. And it's challenging for a number of reasons. So, for example, at the AGM on Wednesday night, the point was well made by Colin, Dennis, and Billy that even with regards to terminology, this stuff can be challenging. So what one person means by church planting might be completely different to what someone else means by church planting. And never mind church planting, but even just this word church, what one person conceives of as church might be very different to someone else. So it's challenging in that regard. But also, just also as you think about life in Hillview and Kintore Community Church, it's challenging to think, what is our plan as to how we approach both these aims, ministry and multiplication? So we are a small church. We're not a huge church in Aberdeen. We're a small church. We have busy lives. Everyone here has lots of other things going on in their life. We live in a transient community. Lots of people in Aberdeen are only here for a few years and then they move on. We have people in our community. Praise God. We have people who are new to faith, or people who are just on the edges of exploring what life with faith in Jesus Christ might look like. Wonderful thing, but challenging sometimes in terms of how do you pursue some of these things. We have in our midst people who are gutted and have been burned and hurt by previous moments in church life, in various church experiences that they've had. We have among us people who are struggling with deep, deep pastoral needs. And we want to acknowledge all of that. Don't want to ignore any of that. I don't want to act like that's not real and that doesn't make a difference. So the question is, how do you pursue day-to-day basic life with God and with one another, given that context, and at the same time, how do you pursue this vision for church planting? So if I can just read a little bit that was in the document, it says, it's not always easy to find the right pace for life in Jesus' church. How do we best live in God's rest day to day, just normal life, opening our homes, understanding our Bibles, serving in church ministry, enjoying Sabbath, connecting with those in need, praying for one another, and at the same time, keep our eye on the huge task of making Jesus known in our communities, near and far? speak in the document about a very urgent backdrop that we want to take seriously, that so many of our friends, family, colleagues just don't know the Lord Jesus, and that Jesus says he's coming back soon. Goes on, how do we live well in the simple things as brothers and sisters week by week, while also preparing ourselves, then stepping out boldly and courageously to spread the love and good news of Jesus? And this document shares, in very broad brushstrokes, the beginnings of a vision as to how we feel we might move forward in some of this. And it introduces this vision, and then it closes the paper by calling the church to a season of reflection and prayer, and to the extent that you're able, fasting as well, over these next 3 months, seeking God as to how we might move forward. And I felt it would be fitting for us to speak about this morning for a few reasons. First of all, because we're conscious that a couple of emails and an AGM that not everyone can make it to probably doesn't do it in terms of getting the word fully out there. Secondly, that point I mentioned at the start, that many of our cherished church family are not members, so we wanted to share this with the wider church. So if I can just pause for a few moments on this issue of opportunities for prayer, just to share this with you, because we would encourage everyone who considers Hillview their church family to enter in to this season of prayer. So there are four ways that we're suggesting that people can do that. We're encouraging you to take a moment each day, set an alarm on a phone or however you want to do that, and just bring this issue in your heart regularly before God. Pray for his guidance. Pray for his leading. So we would encourage you to think about that. We're offering the opportunity for a morning each fortnight. Now, with all these opportunities for prayer, of course, we don't expect everyone to do all of them. What we're trying to do is offer a few different ways that you can perhaps plug in. So we're offering the opportunity for a morning each fortnight, which starting from this Wednesday, 7:15, then every fortnight until the 29th of August. Again, feel free to pop it in your diary as a little recurring appointment with a reminder 12 hours before, so you don't get a reminder at 5 a.m. You need a reminder at 7 p.m. that's coming. And basically, there's no plan for that. Me or Scott will be there in the room, and it's just 45 minutes just to pray. If you can't make it along to the church lounge, then maybe think, can you use that time somewhere else, perhaps? We're encouraging a day each month, so the last Wednesday of every month, a day of prayer and fasting, if you're able, and then getting together at 6:30 p.m. for beans on toast and some prayer and worship together, and the last of those will be our church forum. And then the last kind of opportunity there is that there are 24 hours of prayer from the 10 a.m. on the 28th of July to 10 a.m. The next day, which will be our Sunday gathering, and you'll hear more about that. So if you would like any of those details, or if you'd like a copy of this paper that I've mentioned, and you're not a church member, then come and speak to me or someone, let us know, and we'll email these details out and the paper out to you. But the last reason why we thought it might be good to press pause on the Praying the Bible's Prayers series is because we thought it might be good to open the Bible again on just some of these matters. And of course, there's no verse that speaks directly to this particular paper, but we wanted to just consider how did the early church grow? What was that first burst of life in the early church? And to get a sense of how the gospel spread, and to consider the rhythms and the pace of church life in those earliest days. Now, as we do that, right, we recognize that when we turn to the book of Acts, we recognize that this is a unique time in the history of Jesus' church. But there are still certainly some things, I think, that we can note and take as an encouragement going forward. So the first thing is this. Christians are sent people. Every single one of the Gospels, there, the references are there. Every single one of the Gospels has, near its end, words of sending from Jesus to his followers, as does the book of Acts at the beginning. So I'll just read Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. But this sentness we see time and time again is to flow out from somewhere, and it's to flow out from that place of communion with God. And this is what we see in Acts. We see that the sent people first become a praying people. They are told by the Lord Jesus to wait in Jerusalem, and that's what they do. They have this season of waiting and of prayer. So all the followers are together in one room, and it says there, all those, verse 14, with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brother. So verse 15 tells us there was about 120 of them. I love that because it's just a few more than we have as members of our church. It's just a few less than we have in terms of our whole church family. About 120 of them. And that is the last time, right? As they gathered to meet to pray in that room, that is the last time that all the followers of Jesus were able to meet in one room because life was about to burst forth. So some days later, the Holy Spirit falls. And as we looked a few weeks ago at Pentecost, Peter preaches. And chapter 2 and verse 41 tells us that about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And a few verses later, after that, we learn that they assembled together at the temple and that new people were trusting in Jesus every single day. And then from verse 42 of chapter 2 onwards, we learn that they are beginning to not just meet in the temple, but also to meet in homes. So right from the earliest moment in the church, you have this beautiful balance that God is doing. God is bringing about this huge burst of multiplication right at the birth point of the church. Activity, new people coming to faith, different sizes of meetings. But also alongside that, you have people who are devoted to what? To Acts 2:42, they're devoted to fellowship, sharing life together with one another, and they're devoted to what you might call simple Christian living, to Bible, to prayer, to bread and wine, to communion in each other's homes. And so you have this burst of multiplication and normal church life going on, and then if you fast forward to chapter 4, you get a similar summary here, because I'll just read it. So chapter 4, verse 32, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. No one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. You see, this is normal church life. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Okay? So fast forward to chapter 5, and we see now that there is a growing people. Let's read 5, verse 14. It says there that more than ever believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. And then you can also read verse 42. It says that each day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So again, there's these meetings in temples, but there's also these gatherings from house to house. Huge growth and just simple life together. So we've seen a sent people, a praying people, a growing people. Then in chapter 6, we see something fascinating. They are also an organized people. So I'm not going to read these verses, but you can look at them there as I'm speaking. But as growth comes, what happens is some of the priorities are being lost. So the apostles are realizing that they are losing their priority of prayer and ministry of the word. Priorities are being lost because of the burden that is placed on them in this moment of growth. And also important jobs are being missed because the important issue of the distribution of food to those who are in need, the widows in that time, it was being messed up. So they had to reorganize. And they reorganize so that they can continue church life in prayer and care for the poor and ministry of the word. And in that also, it says there that they multiplied greatly in that moment. So, There's this sense of growth, sense of reorganizing. But still, if you think back to Jesus' encouragement to them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says that you would be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria. And to this point, they've still not ventured out from Jerusalem. It takes something very interesting for that to happen. We see next a scattered people. So it says there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So it's a really interesting thing that we could spend a lot of time thinking about. Often, growth in Jesus' church happens in times of adversity, times of trial. The church is exploding today in parts of the world where, on the face of it, you would think it shouldn't. It would be a struggle. But that's what happens here. This persecution comes and the church scatters. And it's interesting to me, just those last three words of that verse there in chapter 8, verse 1, you perhaps get this further little hint at possibly intentional plans as to how they were organizing themselves. The church is scattered, but for some reason the apostles manage to or choose to, however it happened, they stay centrally in Jerusalem. Then verse 4, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ, and the crowds paid attention. So there was much joy in that city. So again, God's word is spreading. It's bringing great joy. In verse 14 of chapter 8, the apostles, Peter and John, travel down to help with what is going on. In verse 25 of chapter 8, you can read it if you've got your app or your Bible before you, there's further indication that the church is spreading. And then in chapter 9, we read of this dramatic conversion of Saul to Paul. And then in chapter 9 and verse 31, we get one of Luke's very helpful little summary sentences. He drops these in throughout the book. And this is where we're going to stop today, in Acts 9:31. I think we're going to pick it up next week and look at some of the other ways that the church begins to spread and grow from that point forward. But we see here now a scattered people, and now we have a peaceful, multiplying people. So the church, throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It multiplied. So you have this time of peace, which is hard to understand. What on earth did that look like? You read the chapters that lead up. You read the story that leads up to verse 31 of chapter 9. You read what comes after and you think, how on earth did they have any peace? Because it's just this crazy season of God's life bursting forth. But clearly they had found, in amongst this incredible story that was unfolding, space to be at peace. Of this church which is scattered and spread throughout various areas, meeting in homes and in public places, lots of unique gatherings, but somehow deeply connected. And it says there that the church was being strengthened, being built up. There's this sense of growing maturity that God is bringing to the church. It talks about them walking in the fear of the Lord. They're learning what it means to walk before their God. There is this sense of this enjoyment of the presence of God. It talks about them in knowing the comfort of the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful phrase. Maybe some of you here this morning need to know the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They're enjoying in this place of peace something of the presence of the goodness of God. And through all of that, the church is multiplying. Day-to-day blessing of life in Jesus' church and multiplication. And brothers and sisters, I just want to commend this verse to you as one way to harness your time of prayer in these weeks. Can we pray together for peace, We don't want to be a frenzied people. We don't want to be flapping. We don't want people to feel burnt out. We don't want to be constantly on the go and worried about what's coming next. We want to know the peace of God. Service for the Lord Jesus does not come out of a place of frenzied chaos. It should come out of the beautiful place of peace with God and comfort of the Holy Spirit. So pray for peace. Can we pray that we would be strengthened and built up? Can we pray that we would walk reverently before God and that we would know the amazing comfort and presence of the Spirit? And that as we do that, that we would just trust that God will lead us forward, however he would choose. It is only him that can bring the multiplication that we read of in Acts and that we think of in the church around the world today. It's only God. So we just want to pray from a place of peace, comfort, reverence of God, and ask that he would come and lead us forward. Coming now to share bread and wine, juice together. And we talk of being a sent people, and that can feel challenging at times, right? We were reflecting in our pre-service prayer meeting of just the many different ways that we come to church like this. And the reality, I think, among us week in, week out, how we can all default to seeing church as primarily about fulfilling a need in us rather than enabling that opportunity in the power and the presence of God to be a sent people. It's challenging sometimes to think of being a sent people. But we now come to remember the sent one. The Lord Jesus, sent from heaven, God's only Son, to this world. I want to read from John chapter 1 as we come and prepare our hearts. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.' And from his fullness, the fullness of Jesus, we have all received grace upon grace." So we come now, and in our hearts and in this time together, we lift up Jesus, God who took on flesh and came to be among us. We lift up Jesus who lived in perfect peace and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, who offers that same peace to us. Remember he said in John chapter 14, I don't give to you as the world gives. Offers us the peace of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, who only did what he saw his Father doing. That's what we want to be. We want to be a people who just are looking to God. We only want to do what the Father is doing among us. And that was what Jesus did, even dealing with the penalty for sin and gladly offering himself up as a fitting sacrifice for us in our place. Grace upon grace we have received from this great God of ours. And we come to this time and we lift up Jesus, the victor, triumphant over death. We lift up the one in whom we can have complete confidence that whatever he is calling us to, individually and together, he is more than able. Every enemy we face, every fear we feel, every lack that we have, he is victorious over anything that would come against us. Every tear that you have cried this week, every sickness that you are encountering, every division that you have known is brought to nothing in light of the victory of Jesus Christ on the cross. And this victory is not a question anymore of if. It is a question of when and how will we see this victory come to pass in our lives as we trust in him day in, day out, through highs and lows. We trust in him and we wait on him for this victory which is certain and sure. So, dear friends, we enter into this time now remembering the victorious one and proclaiming this victory until he comes, even today. So let's just take a moment and let's bow our heads and remember Jesus the sent one, Jesus the victorious one, Jesus who offers us the peace and comfort of the Holy Spirit, Jesus who has made a way for us to come to the Father. Letter to the church in Corinth. There's a church with tons of issues, concerns, questions, struggles. And right before a section all about the gifts that God had given them and how they were the body of Christ sent out into this world, he brings them back to remember the cross. And he writes to them there, he says, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, the Lord Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. May we never, ever, in any document, in any strategy, in any season, lose sight of that fact that we are people of the cross of Jesus Christ. He is our only hope. Let us never cease to remember Jesus and him crucified and how through his work on the cross he is putting to shame all evil, all powers that would stand against his work of bringing peace and goodness in this world. Let us never forget that through the cross, Jesus Christ is reconciling all things in this world to himself. Let us never, ever cease to remember Jesus, the victorious Son of God, our perfect sacrifice. So, dear friends, this is an open table. What I mean by that is that if you love Jesus Christ, if he is your Savior, if he is your Lord, you are so welcome to share in this little meal now, to enter in, to remember Jesus, and to proclaim his victory on the cross until he comes. So Scott and Craig are going to pass out the bread and juice. We're going to continue in worship. There's a gluten-free roll there at the back if you need that. And let's just respond now and come to God again.